so that we can receive what you have for us. I pray that you may use me as a vessel that will bring your word to your people. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
God is good.
And all the time,
as I've been introduced, I'm Annie Mwangi. What she didn't say is that I'm born again. I love the Lord very, very much. He first loved me, and I continue to rejoice in his keeping, because it's not just the day I got saved. It is keeping me born again up to now. Because of time, we'll go very fast. This theme that we have been given, on being vessels. Our moderator expounded on it very, very well on Monday. And I remember one of the things he challenged us, that in the next 1 year, he just didn't give us a week. He said, in the next 1 year, look at areas where you can be a vessel of hope and restoration. And I believe all of us can identify areas where we can be vessels. He also explained what a vessel is. And if you look at your bulletin on the front page, it says a vessel means a large ship, or and also means container like a bowl, cup of, or glass. In the Bible, a vessel is a person that God uses for his intended purpose of glorifying his name. So that is what the Bible says about being a vessel. Being someone who God uses for his intended purpose. And as I was praying on how I will expound this word today, you know, the Lord led me to several people in the Bible that he used. And I was thinking about how in the next 1 year I can be a vessel. I wanted to look at men and women in the Bible that God used so that I can see where I can come in. And also by the end of this, I hope that even you'll be challenged and see which area in your life you can be a vessel that God will use to bring hope to the hopeless and to restore the brokenhearted and the weak. Because those are around us, and none of us can say that they are not surrounded by people who require a vessel that will bring that hope to them. When we read the chapter, that is the 1 Peter chapter 5, that has been read to us, I read it from verse 1, and I was looking, although this message was to elders, it is for all of us. And in chapter 5, verse 2, it talked about being shepherds of the flock. Every one of us is being called to be a shepherd because you have a flock, either in your home, your family, where you work, where you live, you have a flock, and we are called to be shepherds. We are also asked to do our work without thinking of any pay. That is the work of God. You don't think of what you get out of it from the people. You think of the gift that God will give you for doing what he has called you to do when you become a vessel. Then he also talks about serving people with humility. He talked about putting an apron of humility. That is in verse 5 of the same. And it also talks of humbling ourselves. As we serve as vessels, we have to humble ourselves. And also verse 8 talks about being alert. You know, there are so many teachings that come around. And so you need to be alert so that you are not lost. You do not get lost in the teachings that come around. If you are firm in the word, then you not get lost. So it talks about being firm in our faith. And if we have that, then I believe we shall be vessels that God can use. And as I said, I picked a few women and men. And because I believe that these were put in the Bible, not just for the sake of reading about them, but so that we also can learn, and so that we can also look at ourselves and say, if God used so and so, he can also use me. I picked a few, and I started with Esther. That is, we read about Esther in Esther chapter 1 up to chapter 7. Esther was a beautiful woman, but she never allowed her beauty to get into her head, or you know, she never allowed her beauty to be sold by anybody. And that is why the king of Persia had an eye on her, and he married her. But even when she got married to the king, her heart was still with her people, the Jews. Esther and her cousin Haman, Mordecai, sorry, were ordinary people who God used to accomplish his purpose, God's purpose. Esther risked her security for the sake of her fellow Jews. Can you identify with Esther, especially for us as women? Can we identify with Esther where we can speak out against evils that happen in our society, in our places of work? The second person I looked at was Rahab. Rahab, whom we read about in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1 to 21, was a prostitute. That is what the Bible says. It's not me who has said that, it is the Bible. And who would ever imagine that God would go to Koinange Street? And I'm not talking about Koinange Street where you have your offices. I'm talking about Koinange Street nightlife. He went there. He would go there to pick somebody to fulfill his purpose, to use somebody from that place to fulfill his purpose. In spite of her lifestyle, Rahab knew God is able to do what he says he will do. So she had heard about this God of Israel, and she was so sure that he was able to do mighty things. And so even when the spies were sent there, went there, she was able to lie on their behalf. She lied that she didn't know their whereabouts, and we know that she's the one who had housed them. She didn't count the cost. Even when she was approached by the leaders, because they knew if they saw any men come around, they knew where they would head to. But Rahab knew that these were men that were sent by man of God, so she hid them, she protected them, and she didn't think of her security. What is your life like? What have you been up to in your life? You may not have been like Rahab, but many, many a times, if you seek yourself, if you search your heart, you'll find that there are so many areas in your life that you say, no way, God cannot use me. But let me tell you, God does not look at some of the things that you have done. He looks like at a reformed heart, and he will use that which he desires. Many people will say, how can he use that person who sells in the market? How can he use that person who has not been to school? How can he use that person who has no degree? How can he use? How can he use? But God is telling you, if you allow yourself to be used, he will use you for his purpose. Then we have Deborah, whom we read about in Judges chapter 4. Because of their sinfulness, God put the children of Israel in the hands of a cruel king, Jabin of Canaan. But after a time, they cried to God for help. And guess what? God used Deborah, a woman. You know, she didn't look down at herself and say, this is a man's world. Because many a times we are put down, we are told this is a man's world. But Deborah was used. She allowed herself to be used by God as the messenger of hope to the downcast Israel. We are women, especially for us in the Women's Guild. There is so much we can do. Many a times national issues come and we see other women out there in the streets. But because we belong to church and we don't want maybe our moderator to pinpoint, oh, that is Anne, I saw there, you know, with the wigs in the street saying, Haki Yetu, We keep away because we are Christians. But we are being called, like Deborah, to go out and speak on the injustices that happen in our society. Then we look at Mary, mother of Jesus. We read of her in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 56. This was a humble teenager who had not soiled herself with sexual immorality. She was chosen by God to mother his son. What a privilege. The son who came to a hopeless people so that their relationship with God would be restored. We have many young people in church today, and they are getting lost because they are being deceived by the world, that if you do not give in to this or the other, if you don't give in, you don't give your body, you will not get a job, you will not get this or the other done. But remember, God wants holiness, God wants purity, and he will use you in whichever way he wants to use you, if you stand, only if you stand firm like Mary did stand. There are many, many other women whom we can read about. We can read about Naomi, we can read about Dorcas, we read about Elizabeth, and many other women in the Bible. But we also need to look at some men so that the men do not say that today we are, you know, do not accuse us of being gender biased. So we look at a few men also. And from Genesis chapter 6, I looked at Noah. When people on earth increased in numbers, they also started to sin. And this really grieved God. And he said that he would wipe out the humankind that he had created. But then, in his anger, he remembered Noah. And so he asked Noah to build an ark. And Noah was asked to take animals two by two and including his family. And so after the floods, you know, we know the story of the floods. We don't want to go into the whole story. But after the floods, because of Noah's being available and accepting to be used by God, God was able to restore a nation to himself. Then we look at Moses. Moses was a murderer. We all know the story of Moses. We know how he started, and then, you know, you remember he even killed. And how many of us can lift up their hands and say, I have never killed somebody, especially during the last 1 year. You know, this message of being vessels of hope and restoration, I think it must have come before the handshake. But you know what there was before the handshake between our president and the former prime minister? Hatred. There was so much hatred in us that I believe those who work in offices, you could almost touch it. I remember one young girl, she must be in her late 20s. One time she told us, early in the year, she told us in a group, even if I am given $1 million, I cannot accept Uhuru as the president of this country. Why? Because she was feeling that the presidency had been stolen from them. But how many of us had that kind of feeling? How many of us have gone to an office and you are asked your name, and because of your name, the service that you are going for, which is your right, is not given to you? So hatred, you know, is just like murder, like Moses. But imagine, God picked Moses of all people to rescue the children of Israel from bondage. So God is telling you that in spite of what you have done, in spite of what you have been through, he can use you like he used Moses. In Genesis chapter 30 up to Genesis chapter 50, we read the story of Joseph, how he started, you know, being sold by his brothers who thought that he was proud and arrogant. He was loved by his father, so the brothers didn't like him. He went through difficult times, but in the end, he got into a place of power and authority in Egypt. And through that, he was able to save very many people because he allowed God to use him. Do people say you are proud? Do people look at you and say you are arrogant? Do we have arrogance, you know, in how we behave among people? God is calling us to be humble. And just like Joseph, he will use us. And we can mention many, many other men in the Bible. We can talk about Boaz. We can talk about Peter. We can talk about the other apostles of Jesus. My question to you is, have you identified yourself with any of these ordinary people? They were very, very ordinary people. The reason I didn't mention Jesus is because Jesus was God. Jesus is God. So none of us can give a sacrifice like Jesus did. But I've picked ordinary men and women so that you and I can identify with them and say, if he used these people, he can also use me. On your bulletin, the moderator, again, who is our chaplain, has stipulated very, very clearly who God uses. What criteria does God use for the vessel to use? Available. God uses the vessel that is near him. All the men and women we have read in the Bible were very close to God. Even the prostitute that we talked about, she knew God, and so she was able to give a word about God. So are you available, or are you so busy running around doing other things that you are not available for his service? He uses surrendered vessels. God uses vessels, a vessel that is surrendered to him. So, and it says, the Bible says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. He wants you to surrender, to leave anything that would stop you from being of use to him. Then he uses a willing vessel. A vessel that is willing, a vessel that is unwilling is not worthy of God's use. God is calling you to be willing. And if you are willing, he's going to equip you. And which area is God calling you to be that vessel? And as our moderator expounded the word on Monday, and I said I picked the seven areas that I think all of us need to think about. The first place I thought about is in your family, the immediate family. Is there a problem in your family? Between you and your spouse, between you and your children whom you think are not doing what you want them to do, you have talked badly to your children to the point they have walked away in anger, he's calling you to be a vessel of hope. The extended family, we know that the family feuds bring a lot of problems. And I remember Elder Kamara keeps telling us that the family feuds makes it very, very hard, especially when the parents pass away and there is property and, you know, to be divided. This kind of thing. The Lord is calling each one of us that if you have this kind of thing in your family, he's calling you in this. You have friends who are hurting and in hopeless situations. You have neighbors, irrespective of tribe or clan. You have workmates. You have the needy in society. And here in St. Andrews, we don't have to go very far. We have our children in Tumaini and in Hawa, where we call you to partner with us, to be a vessel of hope for these children who are picked from the streets, who are orphaned so that they can lead good lives in their future. We have the needy in the mission field. We have Mashuru area, which is our mission field. We are being called to be vessels. You may not go to the mission field yourself, but God is calling you to use your resources. We have many Waganas in our church who will go, who do not mind going to sleep on the floor in Mashuru and other areas. Can you give your resources? And you can start by asking God, like the psalmist did, by saying, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew the right spirit within me. That is in Psalm 51, verse 10. And 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7 says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Is your heart fully committed to God? Will you accept the Lord to use you as a vessel of hope and restoration? Are you willing? And if you are willing, God will come and he will use you. He will equip you. You may think that you don't have what it takes, but God equips those whom he calls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we are not worthy to come before your presence, but because you have called us to be vessels of hope and restoration, our prayer is that we shall put aside that which will hinder us from that, being that kind of vessel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.